You know, it's kind of hard to believe that we're still in the book of Nehemiah, because it kind of took a turn. Like, we're in the first few chapters, we're so busy with the building, with the gates, with all that's happening, with the enemy trying to oppose the builders, Nehemiah, and all of the people that are assisting him. And then they wanted to celebrate what God is doing in their life. And then the building, instead of being a building of actual walls and actual stones, now it's building the people spiritually. Now we're starting a revival. And one of the things they discovered that, the day that they finished the building, that it was supposed to be a holiday. They started celebrating the holiday. They started reading the Word of God, and they hadn't read the Word of God in so long. So the second they started listening to it, God started speaking to everyone. It fell on their heart like a cold cup of water on a very hot day in the middle of the desert. It's like what they've been wanting to wait, what they've been wanting to hear, what they've been waiting to hear for so, so long. They started hearing the Word of God. They started repenting. If you were with us, not last week, the week before, they took practical steps. So it's not just listening to the Word of God, it's actually obeying the Word of God. They started distancing themselves from anything that is foreign. They started fasting and repenting and coming together and asking for more. It wasn't enough that they heard it one time. They came for more. And we saw that God had provided not just his words, but also people to deliver his word. We saw so many people, and every single one of them represented something. We saw people that their names meant, building with God. Praising with God. People's name that meant that God is gracious, God is love, God is merciful. All these people are involved in the work of God. And then they started praying. And this is actually the longest prayer in the Word of God. Not as long as Pastor Mike's prayers, but close enough. So very, very close. So they started by, I love Pastor Mike. They started, when Ezra started praying, he first started by God's ability, who God is. And Pastor Albert shared with us last week that sometimes when I start praying, I focus on myself. I focus on, oh, I did this, I messed up, I sinned, I lied, I did all of this, or God give me this, or God give me that. But right now, the main focus was on God. And he brought us the example of the prayer that the Lord taught the disciples. It starts with our Heavenly Father. We're talking about God right now. Hallowed be your name. Lord, we want your name right now. We want you right now. The main focus is on God. And once you fill your eyes and you fill your heart with God, everything else is going to fall into place. Whatever need you have, he knows it. You're not worried about it. You're going to trust him. You're going to have the faith that he's going to fulfill your needs. And then your second will be, we want your kingdom. We want what you want, not what I want. I want your will, not my will. Before the prayer, I wanted this and this and this and this. But as soon as I saw you, as soon as I saw where you are and how you are and the plans you have for me, the mercy you had on me, the compassion you have for me, it's no longer what I want. No, I want what you want, because it looks like you see much better than I do. It looks like your taste is better than I do. Believe it or not, I came to a conclusion where I ask Dina now before I eat something, because I trust her taste buds much, much better than mine. She has a much better taste than food. So like, do you think I'm gonna like this? It's me, it's my food. But I know she knows food a lot more than I do. Or she has, she tried things that I haven't tried. So I ask her, when I come to God, God, I'm at a point right now where I'm not going to tell you what I want, but I'm just going to tell you one thing. I want what you want. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. I want what you want for me, not what I want for myself. Mm-hmm. Because often what I want for myself, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to slavery. I want to go back to everything that was horrible in my life. That's what I know what to want. But he knows what to make out of me. He knows how to make a child out of me. I chose to take everything and go spend it with, you know, with the pigs and live with the pigs and all of that. And he wants to put the robe back on me, the ring back in my hand, and make me a son again. We saw last week his ability. We saw that he's searching for someone like Abraham, just with a little faith, and he can expand it and make it large nation for him. We saw his intervention. This is all in a prayer. You know, we saw his intervention in Egypt. When he saw his children suffering and struggling, he heard and he saw and he came to deliver. We saw in their prayer, they remembered how God opened the way and opened the door in the Red Sea when there was no door, when everything was shut in front of them, and God opened the door. And we also saw his provision when he fed them, he led them, he covered them, and he satisfied their needs and their thirst in the wilderness. All of this is just the beginning of a prayer. See, when we pray, if we start by seeing and proclaiming who God is, I guarantee you, our prayers are going to be even longer than this, or even longer than Pastor Mike's prayers. I guarantee that, you know, because what's not to like, what's not to remember? It's all amazing, amazing stuff. However, we see here, and we're starting today's Bible study, we saw who God is. Now we're going to see what mankind is. So they just proclaimed, or like in their prayer, in Isaiah's prayer, he talked about God. Now let's start how we respond, or how their ancestors responded as human beings. Go ahead, and if you
so
can read.
Yeah, so it starts in verse 16 here. It says, but they, our ancestors, became arrogant and stiff-necked, and they did not obey your commands. Verse 17, they refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. So as Asam said, as they began reflecting on who God is, you know, I think we've talked about this in previous Bible studies, how important it is to begin our prayers reflecting on God first. And as they began reflecting on God, the natural inclination, I think, in our hearts is to remember, in spite of God's greatness, how often we act. And in this passage, they speak of their ancestors and how arrogant and how hardened their hearts had become toward God and how completely ignorant they were to seeing the Lord. And it really, it brings up a couple of things, I think, because, you know, oftentimes we hear Christians speak of things like generational curses, okay? I think I've heard that term used a lot. And most of the time when Christians speak about generational curses, they speak of Exodus 34, verse 7, where it says that God visits the iniquities of the father, of fathers on children's and children's children to the third and to the fourth generation. And I think we have to be careful with this, because oftentimes, I think we hear about, let's take our own lives, for example. If we have an ancestor, maybe a parent, maybe a grandparent, maybe a great-grandparent, who maybe was involved in things, be it sin or be it, maybe traditions that were not really of God, okay? I mean, I think I will tell you this, in being transparent, I have my grandmother on my father's side was involved in a lot of witchcraft. She read tea leaves. It wasn't tea leaves. In Egypt, they do like coffee grounds, you know, like you drink a cup of coffee and then the remaining grounds, they kind of swirl around and they read this cup, because in this cup, so bears your future. Okay. And she was involved in a lot of that. And she kind of passed it on to my aunt, who, you know, I see all the time. And my aunt would do this, and she's my father's sister. She would do this often, when her and my dad would just hang around, she would do it, right? Mm-hmm. I saw this. So here it is kind of coming down the line to generations. Now, I never got involved in it because I became a believer at the age of 19. And when I became a believer, I recognized very quickly that that was not something that's of God, that's aligned with my faith, with my belief. So I think the point here is that it's important to look at the mistakes of the past in order for us to avoid them in the future so that they don't become a curse on our own life. Mm-hmm. And that is really, it lies on your decision, mm-hmm. right? Just because my grandmother was into like a pretty pagan practice doesn't mean that that practice laid a curse on me. It would if I took it on myself and said, hey, this is what I'm gonna do also. But I because of God's wonder and grace and mercy on my life, the filter that came in through was the Holy Spirit. And so I just want us to sort of, as we talk about this sort of concept of our, God doesn't hold us to the sin of our fathers. You know what I'm saying? They're not, God isn't sitting up there like, oh, her father sinned against me, and so that one's on her. No, that's not what it is. God is about individual relationships with one heart connected to him. Our role is not to take on baggage from previous generations, assuming because it's tradition, it's something we do, or it's something we're used to. That God wants a fresh start with every generation to change hearts and minds. So this was a really good indicator right here in this moment, as they profess to God, wow, this is something our ancestors did, but clearly it wasn't the path that they were wanting to take.
It's very good. And you know, God is so good at taking something that's ruined and that is messed up and making something beautiful out of it. So even if our ancestors, even if our family members, even if our fathers or whoever messed up and did stuff that they shouldn't have done, God, and even that affected us personally, God is able to heal. And God is able to help us take this experience and go and share with everyone that we are healed. A man told me everything that I did, and he still loves me. He still forgave me. He believes in me and turns this long experiences of adultery or whatever it is that she was involved in into a preacher in matters of seconds. God is able to do a lot more than we can ever think or imagine if we trust him to do what he does best. That's to heal and transform. So first, that he confesses the sins of his ancestors. And what did his ancestors did? They became arrogant. And it's so funny to me to hear that, wait, those people became arrogant? The same people that when Moses went to Egypt to tell them, hey, God heard your voice. God heard your cries and he's coming here to redeem you. The word of God says they couldn't believe him because of the low self-esteem, because of the harsh slavery that they were under. Like when you go to someone who is addicted to all kinds of drugs, all kinds of, you know, things, and you say, hey, God loves you. God has a great plan for you. Might look at you and laugh because he knows or she knows the amount of addictions they have. But these people came from that, and God blessed them and God used them. And instead of living a humble, thankful heart, they used God's blessing to become arrogant against him. And maybe, all these prayers and all these things, this isn't to look back and to condemn the Israelites. These are all practical lessons for us because we can easily become arrogant. Not because we're in the world, no, because we're in church. because we're experiencing God's blessings. Because God blessed you with a gift of worship or gift of preaching or a gift of, you know, a financial gift or whatever gift that God is giving you, be very careful, because those people were blessed by God and they became arrogant against God. So these are practical lessons for us to be careful with. May God help us to stay always humble, no matter how big, no matter how good, no matter how rich, no matter how well-spoken we ever get. May God help us not to ever be arrogant against them. Not only that, but they became stiff-necked. What does that mean? That means I am going this direction. God is calling you in this direction, and he says, turn to me and be saved. Turn to me and find joy. Turn to me and find peace. Turn to me because I know the way. I am the way. God keeps saying, turn this way. And they became stiff-necked, meaning I am going this direction. No matter what you say, I am not listening to you. Not only that, but they refuse to listen to God. God speaking. We want God to speak. We always say it in our prayers. God, speak to me. God, speak to me. But here's the question. Do we listen to what God has to say, or do we only listen to what we want God to say? Can I say that again? Do we listen to what God is actually saying, or do we only listen to what we want God to say? Because God never stops speaking. He's always speaking. Unfortunately, a lot of times we ignore his voice because it's not what we want to hear. I want to hear the message that says you're going to prosper. I want to hear the message that says that, you know, you're going to go marry J-Lo. I want to hear the message that says that I'm going to give you mansions and Ferraris and this and that. I want to hear that message. But the message of holiness, the message of giving, the message of this, the message of that, that God keeps speaking to you day and night and speaking to me day and night, that's not the message we want to hear. We want to hear what we want to hear from God. We want him to speak our language. We want him to speak the things that are good to us and that are easy for us, not the things that are good for us. One of the constant argument we have with our children, we always tell them this: we're not gonna do what makes you happy. We're gonna do what makes you successful. We're not gonna do what makes you just, you know, rejoice and like give you some momentarily pleasures. No, we're gonna do what's good for you. Even if you don't like us, that's fine. Maybe you're not supposed to get it right now, but one day you're going to be very happy with what we're doing right now. One day you're going to look back and say, I'm very thankful that my parents were mean to me, or they were harsh, or whatever it is you're calling it right now. God is doing these things. God is always speaking to us if we only listen. The people of Israel stopped listening to God's voice because they wanted to hear a different voice. They wanted to hear a different message. The message, again, of prosperity. The message of, yeah, go ahead and marry anyone that you like. Go ahead and do whatever it is that you want. Go worship the other gods. You got it right now. You got the land. You got the job. You got, you know, the army. You got all of this. Go ahead, do whatever it is that you want. That's not God's voice. God will never speak that way. To make it easy for ourselves, God will never speak that way. And God is not going to change his word for anyone. He has not changed it in all these years, thousands of years. He's not going to change it now. So my job, to be humble enough to align my ears and my understanding to his, because he's not going to change. And I hope that you can say amen in your heart. And they also failed to remember all the miracles. All the miracles God performed with them, all the armies that God defeated, all the things that they saw firsthand, they failed to remember. This is not just them, by the way. This can include a lot of us. or includes most of us most of the time, or a lot of the times, we forget what God has done in our lives. And we freak out. Something happens, something goes wrong, and we say it's over. Well, you just went through the Red Sea, and the biggest obstacle in front of you became the biggest solution for the bigger problem that you had behind you. We talked about that last week. The biggest obstacle that you see right now, which is the Red Sea, became the solution using God's hand, became the solution to get rid of the thing that's been slaving you for so long. The thing that's been frustrating you for so long, God took care of it at that spot. They stopped remembering God's miracles. Remember God's miracles and his endless power during the time of trouble and confusion. He's not done. But here is another point that we need to pay attention to. God doesn't necessarily work the way you want him to work and the way I want him to work. Last time you split the Red Sea. So this time, why don't you split a mountain or a lake or something? You know, last time you did this, why don't you do this? He's not going to do it that way. He's just not. He has a perfect way of doing things, a way that will bless you, and it's ultimately going to be for your good. But it's not just that, for the blessing of others. You know, God has a way, but the Israelites stopped remembering what God has done for them. And then here it is. They appointed a leader to take them back to Israel. If you're wondering where you can find this, you can go back to Numbers 14:14 and let me read it to you. Okay. And again, this is all a response to what God has done for them and God's done with them. And again, don't blame them. Don't point the finger and say how horrible these Israelites are, because I can see myself doing a lot of these things. I can see seasons of my life, recent seasons in my life, where I became stiff-necked. Seasons in my life when I didn't remember God's goodness. Seasons of my life where I am waiting for a word from God, but the word that I want to hear from God, not the word that God keeps speaking to me. I mean, how many meetings do we go to? I listen to K-Wave Radio every single morning. I listen to worship songs. Dina's singing all day. And she's amazing, but singing isn't her talent, but she's singing. I mean, God is speaking all the time, and I'm still waiting for that word. He is speaking, but I'm waiting for my word. They appointed a leader. Go back to Numbers 14:14. Listen to this. That night, all the members of that community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses, Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt, or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as a plunder." It's like, well, you, your wives and children were a plunder in Egypt. But anyway, they forgot. "Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." These are the Israelites that were crying for help and redemption when they were in Egypt. And God comes and saves them, and with a mighty and strong hand delivers them. They kept wandering in the wilderness because of their mistakes, because of their harsh hearts. Now, because they received a report that's incomplete, a report that's mostly based on sight, not on faith, they decided to say, well, let's appoint a leader other than Moses, because Moses is telling us like we're going to go to the promised land, and he's saying all these God things. No, I don't want anyone to tell me the God things. Let's appoint a leader that will take us back to Egypt. And if you have a pen or if you have a phone, if you're driving, please don't do any of that. But try to remember these questions. Are we so quick to believe the bad reports or do we fight? Do we fight in faith and see the unseen? They were so quick to believe the bad reports. They were so quick to believe that it's over. They were so quick to believe that there is no way out. See, this goes back to where have you been hanging out? If you're like someone like Moses and Joshua and Caleb and all these people, and you're hanging out with God, you're going to say, oh, no, we can take them. And they will become a plunder to us because you're seeing God. God is bigger than anything and anyone. And your life and your heart and your mind and your eyes are full with the presence of God. So anything and everything else is so tiny. But the others who were not spending time with God, everything and anything becomes a giant to them. A whole army for 40 days could not step forward to fight one man by name Goliath. But this little shepherd boy who spends all of his time with God saw the giant and was like, who is this Palestinian? Who is he? Why is he talking like that? Let me teach him a lesson. And that's because he spent his time with God. Spend your time wisely, because where you spend your time will determine your next decisions. If you're spending your time, you know, with the world, your decisions are going to most likely be worldly. If you're spending your time with God, your decisions most likely will be godly. That's the first question. The second question is even better. What is your Egypt? They said, let us appoint a leader and go back to Egypt. What is your Egypt? Egypt was the land of slavery, the land of the usual. You had something amazing that you shared with me earlier. The oppression.
No. I was just saying that they loved their place of oppression because it was familiar to them. And that's what they wanted to go back to. They wanted to go back to the familiar. Hmm. And when they spoke of Egypt, to them, even though it was horrible and miserable while they were there, it was better than what they saw as the unknown. And it was unknown to them because they hadn't gotten to know God's heart about the matter. And oftentimes I think we need to go to the Lord and find out, what is your heart on the matter? Exactly what Assam said. Where am I spending my time in those moments of crisis? Because they're going to come. They just will. Am I going to just want to go back to the familiar because I know it? Or am I going to push through in an attitude of faith to where God wants to take us, the promised land?
It's really good. You know, there is actually something called, the abused wife syndrome or something like that? Yeah. No, truly. Like where a wife that's been abused over and over and over, she runs back to her abusers, in a word, runs back, and people try to help her, but that's like she got used to it. So I feel like the Israelites, they had that. They're like, okay, no, just go back to Egypt. But Egypt was horrible to you. Egypt did not treat you well. Egypt slaved you. Egypt did this and this and this. Why are you going back to Egypt? Because they couldn't have faith in God. Even though God delivered them for 40 years, God led them, gave them, provided for them, was a shelter to them, all of that, but they still wanted to go back to Egypt. I pray that today we cut all ties with Egypt. I pray today you and I cut all ties to our Egypt. Whatever your Egypt is, whatever it is that you go back and you know that this is a land of slavery, that you know that God delivered you from this sin, or God delivered you from this situation, or God delivered you from this habit, whatever it is, I pray you and I today, we would never ever mention even the word Egypt on our tongues. And I mean that metaphorically, of course. Okay. So God was this to them, loving, merciful, providing, delivering, choosing, all of that. And they were stiff-necked. They didn't remember his goodness. They did all of these things. But one of my favorite parts in this, it says, but you are. Can you say with me, but you are?
You are.
Can't hear you, but you are.
But you are.
But you are. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. You are a forgiving God. You forgive all of these sins. You're gracious, God. You're compassionate. You still gave them. You still have compassion on them. You saw that they were hungry, you fed them. You saw that they were sick, you healed them. You saw that they were dead, and you raised them. You saw that they were in need, and you provided for them. But you are. But you are. I pray that this is all. If you're going to remember anything today, just remember this. But you aren't. Say that to God today. But you are. While the enemy comes to you today and starts listing everything that you have done, everything that you have committed, every sin, every iniquity, every whatever it is that you want to call it, trespass, whatever it is, when the enemy comes with these messages, repeat these two simple words, but you are. But you are. Three words, but you are. Compassionate, loving, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Is it your turn? I'm getting tired.
All right, let's go to verse 18 here. It says, even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, this is your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Or when they committed awful blasphemies, because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the wilderness. By day, a pillar of cloud did not fail to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years, you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. And it's the beginning of verse 18 here is so beautiful. It says, even when, those two beautiful words, even when. And it just caused us to think about, you know, how important it is to sort of say those words out loud, say them to the enemy, that even when I'm a sinner and I'm broken. And even when I blow it, even when I do that, God's response is what we just read, which is the total opposite, you would think. You know, as a parent, I'll tell you this. Sometimes when your child does something they shouldn't do, your natural inclination is not to, at the moment, bless them. You know, you usually want to throw something at them. And this is not how God.
I think we're being too honest.
I know we're being. It's been a rough teen week. Okay. Okay, everybody, the teenagers. Anyway, no, they're terrific. This is being recorded. And it says it's even when we are at that state, let us remember these things. Let's remember what God did, and His goodness and desire for us to live with Him sort of overtakes all of the enemy's plans. Yeah. It kind of nullifies the enemy's plan. The enemy's ultimate plan is to destroy us, right? And to see us defeated. But God's ultimate plan for you and me is that we would live with Him for eternity. So, you know, even in spite of our nonsense, when we turn to Him, He still wants us in His house forever. So, yay, win us, right? That's a win for us all the time. So let us use those words, remember them. Even when I fail, it does not constitute your failure. Even when I fall into the trap of the enemy, even when I sin, You fill in the blank, even when whatever. This is God's response. Remember that this is God's response for your life.
Amen. So if God wanted to run, like if God wanted to leave, this is his chance. Okay? Really. Like if God wanted to leave, if God was a husband and wanted to leave the house, this is your golden chance. And you're going to have full custody because, you know, this is not really like what they did here was, you know, was unspeakable. Mm-hmm. You know, God takes them out of Egypt. Listen to this. Even when, okay, they replaced God, they literally replaced him. And what did you replace him with? They replaced him with an image of a calf or a cow or what is it?
A calf,
a golden calf. And they said that this is the Lord that brought you out of Egypt. I'm like, okay, I'm done. You know, I'm taking you out of Egypt. I'm taking you to a promised land, and you replace me to an image of one of the gods that they used to worship in Egypt. I just took you out of Egypt. And you're saying that, let's go back to the gods of Egypt. What did they do to Pharaoh and his armies? Did they help? Absolutely nothing. So why are you relying and trying to create an image for yourself to worship that never helped others, never helped your enemy? Can we bring this home a little bit? Why are we replacing God with things of this world? Because the things of this world didn't help the people of the world. It didn't give them joy. It didn't give them happiness. It didn't give them success. It didn't give them peace. It didn't give them any of this. So why are you making their idols your idols while you know it doesn't work? And you're trying to replace me, trying to put your hope and trust and everything on these idols, not on me. And you're saying that this is the God that will bring me joy. This is the God that will give me success. This is the God that will make me live the life that I want to live. Those gods did not help others. Why do you think they're going to help you? Those gods failed and failed and failed. What makes you think they're going to succeed with you? You just left a whole country that worshiped these things, and it didn't help them, and committed awful blasphemies, gave credit to gods that they saw previously failing. But even when they did this, or should I just say, even when we did this, or even when we do this, okay, you did not abandon them in the wilderness. I'm gonna tell you something right now. Even if we're still in the middle of worshiping something that's not God, even if we're in the middle of something that we shouldn't be in the middle of, God's still asking for us. God's still speaking. And God's still after our hearts. He's not abandoning us mm-hmm. while we're in this wilderness, while in this deserted place where we in between Egypt and between the promised land. God is not going to abandon us. He still provides a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. He still wants to keep us from the heat of the sun and keep us guided and directed in the middle of the night. He is giving you his good spirit. I believe that his good spirit, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you and speaking to me right now. This is not because it's a meeting or it's being recorded. But this is how I feel right now, that God's spirit is speaking to all of us right now, even when we're in the middle of this, even when, and you fill in the blank. Your good spirit instructed them, provided manna as food. Every single morning they would wake up knowing and trusting that they will have food, that they will have provision, just like you and I. Every single morning. There is a song that just came out from Maverick City. It's one of my new favorite choirs. It's called Breathe. You know, that every breath that we have is a gift from God. Truly, we should treat it that way. listen to that song after you after we're done. It's a little bit soulful, so just, you know, to get ready, but so you're not surprised. But it's a beautiful, beautiful song, beautiful words. The manna was provided them, just like that breath that you have right now, that you're taking right now. This is a sign of God's mercy on your life and in my life. This is a sign that God still has a job for us to finish and to accomplish. And gave them water. Their clothes did not wear out. For 4 years, they didn't go to the mall. They didn't order on Amazon or Walmart or whatever, or Target. Nope, they did not. God made these clothes last for 4 years. Their feet did not swell from all the walking. They did, even when they replaced God, even when they committed blasphemies against the God, even when they said, let's go back to Egypt, even when they did all of this, God did all of that. What a wonderful God we have, right? Can any of you guys say amen or hallelujah or something? Come on. Or that. Come on, Pastor Mike. I didn't go to the Angels game just for you. We have 9 minutes to go, and we still have like a third of the Bible study. So I think we should stop here and just hear any questions or any comments or any testimonies or anything that God spoke to you today. Please be open with us. And be open with the rest of us. Truly, when I was reading this and preparing for this, since Monday, I felt like this was a revival in my heart. Truly, it just took me through the journey of how I met God, how God redeemed me, and how many times I fell, and how many times I distanced myself, and how many times I created new gods for me, and how many times I said, oh no, Egypt was much better. All of, trust me, and I'm not just saying that, but all of this list. But you are a merciful God. And even when I did all of this, he had all of that ready for me to bring me back. Even when the prodigal son left, took the money, wasted the money, lived with the pigs, did all of that, even when he did that, his father still welcomed him with an open heart and open arm. May this be a message for all of us for now, if that's what you're going through, or for later. God forbid one of us falls, or God forbid one of us falls down. Just remember, even when you do this, God is still willing, and God still loves us. God still has our backs. Mm-hmm. So unmute yourself, share with us, or ask questions, and we're here for 7 more minutes. If not, we can pray together. Not all at once, please, because, you know.
I know, we can't.
Zoom.
You're going to die from all the news.
I feel Pastor Albert's pain, man.
I heard Fawez on for a second, but I think it was an accident.
Yeah, I think it was an accident. No, it was not. Yeah. Come on, Fawez is going to shit.
What was that?
We heard you unmute for a second. I thought you were going to say something.
No, I did. I unmuted because it was open mic time. I love what you said, even when. It kind of reminds me, I can't remember any particular verse, but there are verses that says, but then the Lord, kind of the same idea.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's almost like a wait, like you were saying, it's, but God has the final say. So I love that. It's a great reminder. Thank you.
I think you're talking about Joseph, but God, because his brothers meant for him this and this and this, but God.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a t-shirt that says, but God.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll buy you one.
You got what?
I said, I'll buy you one. that t-shirt.
Oh, I love that. That's a good idea.
All right, if no one else has anything. Oh, sorry.
That was so encouraging, guys. Thank you so much. Now, the fact that they were all going in one direction and they were going in the wrong direction fast, and even after all the amazing things God did, but he's still there for them. And that just shows his incredible heart. So thank you for just drawing this beautiful picture in such a clear, clear way as a beautiful reminder. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, why don't we pray? Whoever wants to pray, we still got 5 minutes. Let's use them wisely. Whoever wants to pray, we still have it. The prayer doesn't have to be as long as this prayer in this chapter, because that will take a while. Could be a quick prayer. Pray for Pastor Albert and Delia. Pray for the church. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. If you have someone that you want us to pray for, please share. This is a time that we're going to meet with God, so be open. Lord, we thank you so much for your word today. And Lord, all I can say is that we heard you. We heard you. We heard you. We heard you. And we love you so much. And we thank you so much for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you for even when in our life. Lord, I thank you that there's so many even whens in my life, Lord. And I just pray that you would remind me of those today. Remind me of your great love. And your constant, constant search for us and for our heart, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you, Father, even as a reminder, Lord, of even when, Lord, it's, your word says that they lack nothing, Lord. It's a reminder of seeking you first, Lord, and everything will be taken care of, Lord. Father God, not worry about anything. But seek you first, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that you help us to always seek you first, put you first, and chase after you first, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Lord, thank you that you are always present, Father. Thank you that you intervene. Thank you that you have the final say. Thank you that you are always there for us and with us, Lord. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you.
Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for the reminder that you give, that you are so there, that you are so loving and so kind. Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace to reflect on how amazing and powerful and gracious you are, and to continue to lift up words of praise and adoration to you, because you are so, so worth it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.